Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Talk Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, Raiders insider Scott Baier and NBC Sports Bay Area's Josh Schrock.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Raiders Talk Podcast. We're coming to you early this week, sort of doing something different. Normally, you hear a lot of me, Scott Baier, my co-host Josh Schrock, talking a lot of Raiders football in its current form. But this time, we are going to talk to NBC Sports Bay Area long-form producer Chris Jones, who thank you so much for joining us, Chris, and really just kind of go into a podcast that you've been working on and I've listened to and is just fantastic. And it's part of the larger NBC Sports documentary podcast series called Sports Uncovered, the mysterious disappearance that changed Super Bowl. So Raiders fans know what we're talking about now, right? We're talking about Barrett Robbins kind of going missing in action just before the start of Super Bowl 37. And we want to kind of peel back the curtain and kind of have Chris tell us how this whole thing kind of came together in a way that I think is just absolutely riveting. And Chris, I'll finally get to a question now. And it starts with this. When you just listened to an NBC Sports Bay Area archived interview that was days long with your feature subject, former Pro Bowl Raiders center Barrett Robbins, what was your first reaction? Because this interview was a long time ago. It was him and Greg Papa back when he was in prison. What were your first reactions and impressions to what you heard?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and just to go a little bit farther back behind the curtain, this project back in 2011 was headed by a producer named Matt Abrams, who was really passionate about it. They were planning on doing a 10-year anniversary documentary about Super Bowl 37. So Greg Papa went down, like you said, to Miami, interviewed Barrett for 2 days in prison. Wow. Not in any cell or anything like that, just out in the yard. He interviews Barrett amongst a bunch of other prison inmates. And for whatever reason, the project kind of fell through. It never ended up materializing into a full length documentary. Mm-hmm. But they still had this incredible 2-day interview with Barrett. So just recently we were able to find that footage, unlock it and take a listen to it again for the Sports Uncovered series. And I think the first thing that jumped to my mind when you listen to this interview with Barrett, a man who's been in prison for a few months at that point, is just kind of how open he was about pretty much anything Greg wanted to ask him. Like, you can definitely tell that years of abuse and kind of his own mental struggles he's dealing with take away a lot of his memories. There's a lot of blank spots he wasn't able to elaborate on, but there was nothing off limits when Greg talked to him. You know, anything that anything he might have thought was a little too controversial, anything like that, he was very honest and did not hesitate.
Yeah, Chris, I'm curious. I know when people listen to long form podcasts like this or read long form features, they kind of just take in the final product and don't know everything that goes into it. So when you're trying to create this brilliant podcast that I really enjoyed, what's that process like for you as a creator?
Yeah, I think this one in particular was a little bit different than something I used to, just because, and as you guys know, there are so many different angles, opinions, recollections of what happened, nearly 17 years ago. So I think one thing that was important was we're telling the story to give a little bit of more insight into Barrett, what he struggled with, and kind of how some of his mental health issues today could have been, you know, much, much better taken care of than they were back in 2003. But what was hard, I think, is getting everyone's opinions, everyone's recollections of what happened, and trying to fairly tell the story. Just because there are some guys we talked to who were really sympathetic towards Barrett, felt really bad for what he went through. Other guys, as you'll hear, still to this day aren't really happy with what happened and how Barrett kind of left them that day. And then balancing that with a lot of blame being placed on Barrett, obviously, but kind of peeling back this other layer of this quote-unquote game plan change from Callahan that many players on that team think was a bigger impact on the game than Barrett going missing. So it's kind of like finding that balancing act of don't treat this podcast as a way just to kind of dump all over Barrett, but also, you know, make sure you're telling his story truthfully, no matter how kind of dangerous that might be in some parts.
Yeah. And there must have been just hours of interviews that you did whether it was with former Raiders teammates, Hall of Fame wideout Tim Brown is featured heavily here, Amy Trask and former Raiders executive Bruce Allen, in addition to a lot of people surrounding Barrett. When you have hours and hours of stuff and you have all these details that you're trying to fit into 45 minutes, that must be pretty difficult, and at least from my vantage point, would seem pretty daunting when you have all this good stuff. Now, how do you formulate it in a way that can be engaging and as you said, really paint a three-dimensional picture of Barrett Robbins and kind of everything that transpired heading into that Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard. We have, I don't even know how many hours of footage, but we did over 20 interviews for this thing. And like you said, trying to fit all of that into 45 minutes can definitely be difficult. But I think you go through and you just listen for stuff that's new, stuff that maybe hasn't really been talked about a lot. Like, I think one of the biggest takeaways in the interviews was speaking with Calvin Branch about the process of getting Barrett back to the team hotel, just because I don't think Calvin's ever told that story to anyone. We knew about it just because in Barrett's interview, he says, you know, Calvin was a guy who found me. So that's the only reason why we knew. So I think just going through all the interviews and trying to find little nuggets like that, little things that maybe haven't been talked about a lot, and then somehow trying to fit all of them in a smooth, listenable fashion into like a 45-minute podcast.
When you were putting this together, and now that you're almost to the finished product, what were some obstacles that you and the production team had to overcome when you were creating it?
I think definitely the one, besides for just trying to shrink it down and trying to make it fit the time constraints, just working in the COVID atmosphere we are right now, where I'm not able to really, you know, see an editor face to face as much. I'm not able to go out and meet people to do interviews like that. So that was probably the biggest obstacle. In some ways we lucked out that because it's a podcast, you know, Zoom or phone calls usually worked pretty well, but it definitely was an obstacle to get over for sure.
You know, I think so many of us who were around or just happen to be big sports fans, we know like the basics of what happened. And I think a lot of people come away with the impression that this guy partied too hard, let a bender go from Friday to Saturday, and really kind of went missing in action. How important was it for you to kind of maybe explain some of the reasons why that this wasn't just a clear cut case of a guy just completely losing his way, that like this is something just in terms of mental health that really he has been dealing with? And you spend a lot of time, both using what Barrett said and also speaking to a mental health professional. Why was that important to really trying to paint him in all three dimensions?
Yeah, I just think when – I mean, I was guilty of it too, you know, watching the Super Bowl and everything after that. You just hear starting center goes to Mexico, parties too much, misses the game. Like, that's a pretty easy in-and-out story in itself. But the more you talk to people, the more you kind of peel back the layers, you really do realize that there are, you know, so many things that contributed to this that really started from, you know, him as a kid. So I just think it was important to kind of build that up and show that this wasn't just a guy who, you know, for whatever reason decided to party too much, a couple nights before the Super Bowl. This was something that had been building and building, and really, and it's a hard thing to look back and say, but it was really a situation where along the way, had certain people not looked the other way at Barrett's warning signs, you know, who knows, but hypothetically, this situation could have never happened if people didn't look the other way a handful of times throughout his life.
Yeah, and I just thought it was fascinating that he wasn't formally diagnosed with bipolar disorder until after the Super Bowl. That just blows my mind that he was technically that people either looked the other way or he was just simply misdiagnosed. Like, that just blew my mind.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the reasons to try to get Descartes Lee, who was a doctor here in San Francisco, the head of the bipolar disorder division of UCSF. Because what was crazy talking with him is he went through this kind of checklist of pretty much everything who someone who's suffering from bipolar disorder shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. Barrett pretty much checked every box.
Yeah, right. So,
but he, you know, and he admitted that back in 2002, back in, you know, early late 90s, when Barrett what should have been diagnosed, there just wasn't the knowledge we had now. So the easiest thing to describe someone was with depression. Mm-hmm. And as he elaborates on, someone who's bipolar being treated as depressed is actually more detrimental to them than just not treating them, because it can have really negative side effects. And again, it's hard to say for sure, but you could definitely see how the things the doctor was saying were evident in what happened with Barrett.
Chris, when people listen to this podcast, how do you think their point of view or their opinion of Barrett and everything that happened might be changed once they finished?
I just think that people see the more human side of him. Like, he's definitely a guy who's made a lot of mistakes. You know, whether some I'm sure are his fault. But I just think getting rid of the stigma of, you know, Barrett as just this guy who, you know, made a critical mistake and just partied too much the night before the Super Bowl. But then also I think you take away from it, and a lot of guys touched on this as well, is just, you know, the emphasis we have now with mental health and sports is just night and day, and how more attention can even still be, you know, put on mental health for these athletes. And just kind of using a tale like Barrett's as kind of a cautionary lesson of what happens when you either try to look the other way too many times, or you just, you know, think of it as not a big part of, you know, an athlete taking care of himself.
Yeah, and you mentioned a little bit earlier just about the fact that that former Raiders defensive back Calvin Branch kind of snuck him back into the or tried to sneak him back into the team hotel, and he of course got on the elevator. Great story that everybody will love listening to. And then the Raiders linebackers coach comes on to the elevator at that time, and they still kind of evaluated him there. It really wasn't until Sunday that he was kind of sent away. What did you take from after he got back to the team hotel? You have a really powerful stuff from former Raiders executive Bruce Allen. Kind of give us some details about what listeners can hear about that period.
Yeah, I think what's crazy about that whole section was, again, stuff that I'm not quite sure Bruce has ever really talked about as far as when Barrett returned to the hotel. And just kind of people think he just kind of disappeared and he was never seen again. But like, there was a lot of a lot of procedures that took place to really make sure that he was unable to play in that game. Mm-hmm. Like, had a couple people decided something differently, he might have suited up. So it was really interesting to hear from Bruce just the extent that they went through with their medical staff to, you know, to not only make sure that Barrett was okay because of this long excursion he took in Mexico, but also just kind of the boxes they had to check to make sure that he definitely was not going to be able to suit up for the Super Bowl.
And there was a big portion of the podcast that lays blame at the feet of Bill Callahan. Tim Brown goes pretty hard at him. A number of Raiders question his handling of the situation. What was the biggest takeaway you had from that section of the Callahan criticism?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway was just one, and it's hard because we weren't able to connect with Bill to kind of, you know,
get his side
of some of these accusations. Yeah, exactly. We don't have his side of this, but I think it's fair to say that every single player we spoke to places at least somewhat of the blame at Callahan, based on how he handled the team, how he handled that week, and then specifically how he handled the game plan change a few days before the game. So what was really surprising about all that is just how much players on that team, almost to a man, thought that that was a bigger impact on the game than Barrett not playing. Like, obviously you have your starting all pro center, it's going to make a difference, but just to the extent that Tampa knew what they were running and to the extent that they just didn't have an answer for them on offense, most of that blame went to Bill Callahan based on the guys we talked to.
Yeah. I mean, were there times talking about this subject where you kind of opened your eyes like, wow, Tim Brown is going all in on this dude, saying he's one of the worst things that ever happened to the Raiders organization? You must have been a bit surprised when that volume of criticism just kept on coming as strong as it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Tim's been pretty vocal about it in the past, so I kind of had a feeling that's how he was going to kind of take that side of it. But when every single guy we spoke to kind of, not as passionately as Tim did, but kind of reiterated his sentiment, it was pretty surprising.
And then just as we're, you know, kind of wrapping up this conversation, thank you so much for the time, Chris, to really kind of delve deeper into what was a massive undertaking and something that I should remind people debuts on Thursday. You can find it at NBCSportsBayArea.com or wherever you find your podcasts. Definitely good stuff. Part of a longer long form documentary podcast series. And just, you know, like wrapping it up, do you feel like, especially there's so much of the interviews where he talks about his past, that do you really feel like you really got to know him a little bit? Just through all these people talking about him and kind of how he's struggled with life since then. I mean, this is all very serious subject matter, right? But coming away with it, how do you feel like you got to know him just in talking about him in so many different ways? You know, like, what was the entire experience like?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway as far as Barrett, not, you know, being present in that Miami prison interview, but just speaking with teammates, speaking with Greg, who was really close with him, speaking with a lot of people who really cared about Barrett. I think my biggest takeaway is it's just kind of a sad story, man. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
For a guy that everyone really had such positive things to say about him as a person, as a father, as a husband, to have something like this happen and to have it be a situation that, you know, could have possibly gone another direction had he been treated differently. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest takeaway is just sad. You know, you feel really bad for the guy, and obviously you can't take all the blame away from him. But I think people who listen to it are definitely going to have, you know, a more sympathetic outlook towards Barrett and what happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like, as you've said, time and time again, there were opportunities to get him on the right path and maybe things ultimately go different for him. Again, the sports uncovered, the mysterious disappearance that changed a Super Bowl. Chris Jones, thank you so much for taking the time to join the Raiders Talk podcast. And please, everybody, go out there Thursday, download it, listen to it. Fascinating stuff. Chris, excellent job. And thank you so much for the time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Raiders Talk podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.